And returning to the Snowden issue, Secretary of State John Kerry told Chuck Todd the other day that if Edward Snowden were really a patriot, he would do what Vietnam-era whistleblower Daniel Ellsberg had done and stand trial and defend himself.
If this man is a patriot, he should stay in the United States and make his case. Patriots don't go to Russia. They don't seek asylum in Cuba. They don't seek asylum in Venezuela. They fight their cause here. There are many a patriot. You can go back to the Pentagon Papers, with Dan Ellsberg and others who stood and went to the court system of America and made their case. Edward Snowden is a coward. He is a traitor, and he has betrayed his country. And if he wants to come home tomorrow to face the music, right, he can do so.
Well, today, the famed Pentagon Papers whistleblower Daniel Ellsberg and co-founder of the Freedom of the Press Foundation is sounding off about Kerry's comments. Daniel Ellsberg wrote a column that was posted in The Guardian, and he joins me now from California. Mr. Ellsberg, thank you very much. Tell me why you responded so strongly to what Secretary Kerry had to say.
Secretary Kerry was once a hero of mine, along with a lot of other people. He did a very creditable role showing moral courage in front of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, denouncing the Vietnam War, actual war crimes, a very heretical thing for a veteran to be talking about, and asking the question, who wants to be the last man to fight to die for a mistake? Let me correct that. Who wants to be the last man to die for a mistake? I was thinking of that only yesterday as I saw the headline that the president was keeping almost 10,000 men almost two more years or two and a half more years in Afghanistan. And I was wondering how Secretary of State Kerry would address that question today. Unfortunately, his statements on Snowden have diminished his stature even further, and it has fallen in recent years in a number of ways. I think that for him to characterize Mr. Snowden, whom I regard as an American hero and a very great patriot, as a coward, a traitor, and someone who betrayed his country, is a despicable statement. And I think very poorly of Mr. Kerry for having said that.
Tell me why you disagree with the argument that he should have stayed, gone through the chain of command, and faced the music, that he should be willing to stand trial and defend himself.
There are several parts to that. On the first, chain of command, Snowden had seen what had happened to every person who went through the chain of command in NSA. Highest officials in NSA, technical people, Bill Binney, Ed Loomis, Kurt Wiebe, Tom Drake, all of them had gone to the inspector general and for that had had their careers ruined. Several resigned. All of them were raided by the FBI and lost their computers on suspicion that they had given the truth of what they were saying to the IG, the inspector general, and to Congress about the NSA's criminal listening in without a warrant on hundreds of millions of Americans. They had told that, but not to the press. They were, as they should have, I must say. They had gone to the Congress and to the IG exactly as Kerry is asking them to do, and for that they were identified as troublemakers and potential whistleblowers, and were suspected of having given the information to the Times, which, as I said, I wish they had done, and I think they wish they had done. They lost their computers. They lost their jobs. Snowden saw all that. He's a fugitive, not, as Secretary Kerry says, from justice. Edward Snowden is a fugitive from injustice. He has no chance of getting a fair, just trial in this country, any more than any of the other whistleblowers who have faced prosecution, or than I did 40 years ago and more. We can go into that. But
let me go into that, because I wanted to ask you, one of the things that Snowden said is that he wouldn't be able to defend himself. He couldn't speak to his motivations because it would be ruled by a judge, as it was in your case, I think, in that trial, that it would be viewed as not responsive or not relevant to describe why you took the Pentagon Papers
or why he downloaded these
documents.
Let me ask. I'm sorry, I can't see here. Am I talking to Andrea Mitchell? Is this you,
yes,
Andrea?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm sorry, I can't see you.
You didn't have return video.
I remember your face, which I recognized 43 years ago on this day, I suspect, on my first press conference after I came up from underground after delivering the top secret Pentagon Papers to 19 different newspapers. And in that first press conference, your face stood out because you were already 43 years ago the most notable journalist, significant journalist in this. So congratulations on being at it. But at that time, I and my lawyers both assumed there must be some law that I had broken, and I expected to go to jail for prison for it, since I'd given out more top secrets than anyone ever before me. I assumed that the Espionage Act, under which I was charged, and Snowden is now charged, and all the other whistleblowers recently, seven under Obama, three more, twice as many or more than the three that were indicted before Obama under these charges, of which I was the first. Now, I assumed that the Justice Department knew what it was doing, and with all the leaks that occurred day after day, they must have used this act many times before, not on as many disclosures as I had made. That was mistaken. It took a year to discover that this country doesn't have an Official Secrets Act of the kind that Britain does have and most countries do have, because we have a First Amendment, which they don't have, which precludes an act that criminalizes any and all release of documents that the government has marked secret or top secret. That such an act has been rejected many times when administrations have proposed it on the grounds that it was unconstitutional. One time, they passed it in October, November of 2000, and President Clinton vetoed that on the grounds that it was unconstitutional. That is the act, the Espionage Act now, that President Obama has used seven times as if it were an Official Secrets Act, which it's very clear Congress did not mean it to be and had rejected that use. And the Supreme Court has never to this day ruled on it. So I'm saying that my case was really, though I didn't know it at the first, unjust from beginning to end. I should never have faced those charges. As the law clerk to my own justice in that case, Justice Byrne, the law clerk, David Treiman, later a distinguished law professor, ruled to the advised the judge at the time that our motion that this was unconstitutional was correct, and he took that under advisement. In the end, I did receive justice, but no thanks to Nixon or the prosecutor. It was the revelation by John Dean and others, and by a leak, that the justice had himself been offered in obstruction of justice the head of the FBI if he ended the case in a timely fashion, and it was implied appropriately with me in prison. It was also the revelation of crimes by the White House, including going into my doctor's office, using the CIA against me numerous times, attempting to assault me or incapacitate me totally. All of those, by the way, are now regarded as legal under this administration, with first informally and then with the help of Congress. So a president wouldn't be facing impeachment as Nixon did if he did all those things. But what I'm saying is that I was not allowed even then, even before that ruling by the judge, to give the answer the question, why did I copy the Pentagon Papers? I was not able to put out a defense at all, in fact, under those terms. It was ruled as irrelevant, that motive is not in relevancy, and therefore I could say nothing about the fact that these secrets had been improperly withheld all this time, and that revealing them now caused no harm. I couldn't say any evidence to that effect, and neither has anyone else prosecuted under these terms since. That's such as Tom Drake and others. That's what Snowden would be facing. He would be facing a jail cell from the time he stepped off the plane here, the plane that John Kerry has offered him. He would be stepping into handcuffs, and he would probably never get out unless the Espionage Act is changed, as it should be, to allow a defense of public benefit, public interest, in which these matters could be brought up. That's what Congress should do. And even before that, the Supreme Court should at last rule on those aspects of the Espionage Act that they are unconstitutional, violations of the First Amendment, of freedom of speech and freedom of the press.
We are going to have to leave it there, but it is a fascinating parallel, and thank you so much for bringing it full circle. Daniel Ellsberg, brought up by Snowden, and then used as another example by Kerry, and now your response. Thank you so much, Daniel Ellsberg. And a programming note, you can watch the entire NBC News exclusive, the interview Inside the Mind of Edward Snowden, tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on MSNBC.